Good morning. It's the 22nd of August. Today our New Testament reading brings us to the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapters 1 and 2. I'm going to read it to you today from Brother Michael Ashton's book, The Challenge of Corinthians. After discussing the divisions in the Corinthian ecclesia, Brother Michael writes this. There was a special reason for Paul to speak of the cross of Christ. He could have spoken about the Lord's sacrifice, his teaching, his death, or his life. But he is building up a careful argument that was intended to show the Corinthians the folly of their current practices. The Romans adopted crucifixion from the Phoenicians as a form of judicial execution, because of its effect on those who witnessed it, rather than because of the efficiency for the victim. The cross was therefore a symbol of shame, failure, and destruction. To all unbelievers, those who are perishing, the whole idea of a crucified Saviour was beyond their understanding, utter foolishness. But for those who were in the way of salvation, the message of the cross had an intrinsic power. It showed God's power in that through the death of his Son, he could save men and women from sin and death. The effects of this power were known and experienced by those who were being saved. This created a great gulf between the wise, according to this world, and those whom the world deems to be foolish. Had not God spoken of this marvellous work through Isaiah? I will again do a marvellous work among this people, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. That comes from Isaiah 29 and verse 14. The divisions in Corinth had doubtless arisen because this worldly thinking was allowed to predominate over the development of the mind of Christ. And the Apostle was keen to show how the new mode of thinking required of all believers is totally incompatible with the principles of contemporary society. This is, of course, as true in the 21st century as it was in the first. Whatever human mode of thinking may be followed, the cross of Christ remains an enigma. To Jews who wanted some external or visible evidence of God's miraculous power, the humiliation of crucifixion was actually an enormous impediment to their belief. And it was equally embarrassing to the Greeks, for they could find no explanation for it in their philosophical approach. But if Christ's teaching is to be accepted by men, they must first humble themselves to accept Christ crucified and see in his sacrifice the power of God and the wisdom of God. God's work in Christ had to be powerful to conquer sin, and it was. It had to be wise if there was to be a way opened for forgiveness, and it was. The unenlightened human mind would conclude that all this was weak and foolish, but it would be mistaken. On the contrary, the message of the cross shows that the wisdom of this world is weak and foolish. In the scheme of salvation, no credit goes to man, and all boasting is completely excluded. This leads the Apostle to state the great principle that denied all boasting, all party groupings, and all pride. No flesh should glory in his presence. That's from chapter 1 and verse 29. Glory must always be directed to God and never to man. Here lay the problem with the ecclesial divisions. Each group was asserting its claim to superiority over the others and effectively ignored the supremacy of God. This was a boastful claim and had no part in the Christian life. Thank you for listening to me.